Hey, welcome to The Odd Coyote, hosted by me, Josh Wan. Did you enjoy that music at the front there, that intro music, some fresh tunes from the old GarageBand on the iPhone? That's where we're at. It's super obvious. We're just getting started. I'm making my own intro music over here. Barely know what I'm doing with the recording and the audio stuff. Just got a mic about 2 days ago. So it's all very new and exciting. So thank you for clicking, subscribing, downloading, sharing, tweeting, whatever it is that you do on the technology to get the episode and listen and share. It is a comedy and humor podcast, and I just noticed that there was a lack of platforms for comedy writers other than some, you know, open mics or submitting a piece to McSweeney's or something like that. So I wanted to give another platform. And I like the auditory component of the podcast. You can hear the characters actually speak, and we can do things like kind of perform with pauses and beats and maybe character voices. So yeah, I think it'll be an interesting experiment. And so thank you for coming along with me on that. This episode, the first episode, I'm going to share two of my pieces. One is the discipline strategies for the ARM teacher in the modern age. The other one is the Altar for Newborns, both of which have been out there. The Altar for Newborns was published on Dragon Poet Review, which is a great online literary magazine, journal, the poetry, prose, all that good stuff. So check it out if you haven't already. I did put the discipline strategies for the armed teacher in the modern age up on Medium, which is another great site I recommend checking out just for interesting reads, articles, other short fiction. But I wanted to, like I said, provide a platform for other comedy writers. So in the future, I want to feature other writers, either me reading their pieces, or if they can make it over to the house, they will be reading their own pieces. And so if you are a comedy writer, either writing in short fiction or a narrative essay, and we're just getting started, so I'm still experimenting with things. If you even have comedic poetry, or maybe some other formats, or you want to bring a couple of friends by and read maybe a short comedic play, and everybody has a different part, I'm open to trying new things. Okay, so it's a new situation, still trying to figure it all out. So let's just get the comedy and the writing out there for everybody, because we all need laughter, right? So if you want to submit a piece, hit us up on email at theoddcoyotepodcast@gmail.com. Just kind of include your submission in an attachment. Well, don't kind of do it. Just do it that way. As an attachment, kind of pitch me your author bio and what it is you're submitting. And then we can either decide if it can be a piece that I will read here, or if you're in the Tulsa area, maybe you can pop by and perform/read your piece. So again, thank you for joining us on our first episode. Please continue to listen, subscribe, download, and even submit. And without further ado, we will present this first piece here, The Discipline Strategies for the Armed Teacher in the Modern Age. Are your students being disruptive during class? Can they not seem to stop visiting with their neighbors? It's easy to let classroom management get away from you, but as a newly armed teacher, it's important to stay calm and let them know who's boss. Get fired up by following these simple steps when disciplining students. Soon, you'll have the ideal classroom and be the envy of the faculty meeting. The first step in effective classroom management is setting expectations. This can be done by including in the syllabus your discipline policy, as well as a picture of yourself at the local gun range. This shows those children you're a real human, one who's willing to pull the trigger. Feel free to get creative, too. Try using a detached bumper stock as a hall pass, or festooning your classroom with your spent shell casings. Christmas tree decorations can be non-inclusive, but hollow points are universal. Back to that discipline plan. First offense, squeeze off a verbal warning. Second offense, reach for holstered weapon. If the student has been especially problematic that week, place an intentional hand on that grip. Give them a reminder of what's waiting for them, resting on your hip, accessible in just a few quick seconds. Third offense, adjust seating chart. Fourth offense, point loaded weapon at student. If you feel like the student has been performing or showing off for others, it's important that you demonstrate to the entire class that class clowns won't have an audience. The only one laughing will be you, maniacally. Go ahead and wave the weapon around too, and be sure to verbalize that the safety is off. Fifth offense. At this point, the student has identified themselves as a repeat offender. Let them know that you mean business by pressing the barrel against the little troublemaker's forehead. Many times, said student is acting out because of factors beyond their control, but this will let them know that you will not tolerate being the target of their poor behavior. Sixth offense, phone call home. Sometimes the only thing that works is having mom and dad on board. If it comes to a parent-teacher conference, this would be a great time to take out your piece and clean it. Just lay out the cylinder of your Magnum 357 between you and that family, and let that little puppy speak for itself. This demonstrates to parents and guardians that you are not only serious, but also thorough. And don't forget about those IEP or SPED students. Sometimes a teacher is instructed to reiterate or repeat directions with special cases, so you may have to give those students extended time with a fully loaded pistol in their face. Feel free to show your hands-on learners the bullets so they know you're working with live rounds. Differentiation is at the center of every conscientious educator's attack plan. And remember, always make sure you use a Common Core handgun and include what caliber you'll be using in the classroom on your weekly lesson plans so you can be sure to track with those state standards. Load up on these steps, and in no time, you'll be going into the academic year with a bang of confidence. All right, that was the first piece, a little short satire for you. And now the next piece, The Altar for Newborns, an absurdist fiction. The couple was overjoyed, to say the least. The day had finally arrived. A bundle of joy, the new addition. The bun in the oven was done baking. She finally popped. After 9 months of pregnancy, what felt like 12 to the father and years for the mother, the couple's sweet baby girl had been born. The day after the birth, the couple was still at the hospital, waiting to make sure everybody was stable and the baby and mother could both be discharged to the satisfaction of the hospital and modern medicine. Between the rounds of nurses, doctors, and room attendants came a baby photographer. She had pink scrubs, a blonde pixie haircut, a Monroe piercing, black-rimmed glasses, light blue sneakers, and a squeaky voice like a cartoon. She explained the packages well, and the new parents, which were still figuring out the trick to diapers, quickly agreed to an unreasonable, not bargain price. The photographer, whose name was Luna or Stella or Piper or Fallon, declared that she would fetch her props and return soon to take the pictures. She did return soon, suspiciously quick, and brought in her equipment on a small metal cart. The husband thought the camera looked like it belonged in a different decade. The wife thought about if she should get a Monroe piercing or if she ruined that by having a baby. "I brought in a few things that I think would look cute," said Luna or Stella. After some fussing and struggling, the newborn was adorned in an oversized purple wool beanie two sizes too big that looked like an owl. "Aw, and oh," the parents cried at the cuteness as Piper snapped away. "Just a few more outfits and poses," said Maybe Fallon. Next, the baby girl was tucked next to a gargantuan teddy bear. The stuffing of this single giant teddy could have made 1,000 bears for 1,000 poor orphans. "That's sweet," cooed the mother. "Just a few more," said the photographer. She had taken close to 103,000 pictures, approximately. Then the photographer brought out some ribbon and bows that the mother gasped, "That's darling," at. The baby was covered with these ornaments, and snap, snap, snap went the camera. "What about this?" cried the eager photographer. She brought out a large, freshly baked Belgian waffle the size of an end table. She sat the baby gingerly on it, the warmth lulling the infant to sleep, and then drizzled her with whipped cream and a giant red-dyed cherry. "Beautiful," exclaimed the father. "I've a few more ideas," winked the photographer, and everyone felt like they were involved in the most adorable conspiracy ever thought up. The photographer pulled out a woven basket filled with hundreds of puppies. The mix of puppies included golden retrievers, chocolate labs, and Yorkies. She also had huskies, but she reserved those for baby boys only. The baby sat on the yowling, scampering herd of dogs, and more pictures were taken. "I know what now," cried the photographer. The photographer blew up thousands of pastel-colored balloons. They filled the room. She strung out shimmering ribbons of silver and gold and scattered glitter with reckless abandon. The baby was tucked in between several of the floating balloons, and click, click, click went the camera. "Let's try this," and no one could object. It was all too cute. The photographer had a pyramid of baby quiches constructed, the gaps filled in with chocolate eclairs around the baby. Platinum columns, done in the fashion of ancient Greece, stood at the base of the pyramid and shone in the bright sun. After a few shots of this were taken, she assembled a parade of minimum wage workers in complete stuffed animal costumes to walk around the pyramid, banging percussion instruments. It would have brought down Jericho. The father and mother and photographer couldn't believe the delightfulness of it all. What joy a newborn brought. "Just about finished," sighed the photographer. Streaks of sweat streamed down her angular face. Next, she had a team of technicians calculate and set off an elaborate fireworks show, but only after the fog machine and laser lights were in place. The lights for this was perfect, especially considering the fire and color burst, conferred the photographer. In the end, a circular aquarium was brought in and a duo of well-trained dolphins circled and leaped around the pyramid in perfect synchronization with the fireworks, lights, and also the newly added cannons. That's right, cannons. Frick yeah, cannons, because cannons. After the stunt jet fighter pilots were paid and the retired Olympic gymnasts were thanked for their respective routines, the photographer gave the parents her card and explained they would be billed later, and a CD with all the pictures would arrive in 7 to 10 business days. Somewhere, under all the glitz and glamour and superior showmanship, was a newborn baby girl, asleep. All right, guys, that does it for the very first episode of The Odd Coyote. Thanks again for joining us. We ask that you continue to join us. Follow us on social media at The Odd Coyote on Twitter, and also email submissions to theoddcoyotepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to get some more fiction pieces and essays and even comedic poetry. Like we had talked about. So any kind of comedic writing that you guys want to get out, feel free to email those in. I would be happy to either read those out loud or have you over to perform those pieces and we can record them. But the show to keep going needs material. So I will keep writing and you keep writing and we'll make this thing happen. So once again, please spread the word and thank you for joining us on our first episode. Have a good one.